said first time, well, iPad, I mess. And I'm not going to lie, I am scared to death. you know exactly what I'm talking about. So Brother Andrew approached me about a month or two ago and asked me to consider doing this. And so I started studying, and I learned a lot myself. And I'm going to share with y'all what I have found. And I've tried to look in and study into this. And if you go online, you can look up any subject in the Bible, and there's lots of videos, and you can find things about just about anything online. But when I looked into music, I found very little compared to everything else. It seems like everybody wants to kind of steer away from that because it can create some controversy. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do my best to stay away from opinion as much as possible and present you with facts that I found, what the Bible says about it. And ultimately, basically what I will be is like a lawyer representing Christ and presenting evidence to you, the jury. Now, you're not making a jury decision about Christ or the church. You're going to make a decision about how you apply that to your life individually. And so that's basically how I want you to look at it and see. If there is something that is my opinion, I will tell you this is my opinion. So I've got a lot here. We probably won't turn in our Bibles to a lot of places. Most of them, I already have them wrote out for us. So, Brother Stephen, if you don't mind, would you open us in prayer? Amen. All right. Good. All right, we'll just jump right in, and like I said, most of this is probably going to be me just reading, filling in the blanks, and then I'll expound on some things that comes to me as we go. Like I said, we're dealing mostly on music in the church, but a lot of this really can apply to your what you listen to outside of the church as well. First of all, I want to look at is music is a gift from God. I think I forgot to put in from on this. Here. All right, mistake number two. All right. in 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I'm sorry if my handwriting is atrocious. Well, first of all, it doesn't specifically mention music directly in this verse, but he does give all things to us that we can enjoy. And if you think about music just in everyday life, it plays a major part in everything that we do. You know, I like to listen to music while I'm working or while I'm driving. If you watch anything on TV, there's music. You go into a store, there's music playing. It's everywhere, and it does make a difference. And if you don't think it makes a difference, I've seen these online. You can go and watch movie scenes where they take the music out, and it looks ridiculous. So it does make a difference. But God gave us these things to enjoy. And so So music as itself is not a bad thing. It's something that God has given us here. I'm just going to hit a few things here. Like the first time it's mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 4:21. Talks about, and his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. Talking about certain instruments here. As far as first time in time, it's mentioned in Job 38 when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So the first time really there it's mentioned, it's directed towards God there. Like I said, some of this we're just going to move right through. These are some of the instruments that are mentioned that I found in the Bible. Interestingly enough, and I'm just going to touch on this. I'm not going to really dive into it. But these three instruments right here, off to the side, the only time those instruments that I found were mentioned in the Bible was in the book of Daniel, and they were some of the instruments that would be played when everybody was supposed to stop and bow down and worship the statue. Now, I don't know if there's anything to that necessarily, but that's the only time I could find those particular instruments. And obviously, we know what flutes are. And I believe the second one there, it's a weird name. From what I understood, it's today we would call it more like a trombone. But that's basically all I'm going to say on that, though, so we'll move on. That third one, dulcimers. Oh, you mean the second one? Oh, the cymbals, yes. Yes, okay, I'm sorry. I was looking over there. Yes, cymbals are in the Bible. All right. And they were used in places that were used for God. So you're good, brother. I know when we were putting everything back together over at the end of camp meeting, he was playing with some. So he likes that. We'll move right along here. All right. So just some mentions about instruments in 2 Samuel 6:5. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord all manner of instruments. Made of fir wood, even on harps and psalteries and timbrels and on cornets. And there it is, brother, right there at the end of that verse. Cymbals before the Lord. So that's a good theme there. If I move too quick, y'all let me know. I get nervous. I speed through things. 2 Chronicles 7:6, it says, and the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord. Because his mercy endureth forever, when David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. In 1 Chronicles 16:42, it says, and with them... But y'all didn't know He-Man was in the Bible, did you? He-Man and Jeduthun with trumpets and, there it is again, brother, cymbals for those that should make a sound and with musical instruments of God. And then it says, and the sons of Jeduthun were porters. That's just kind of some introductory stuff here. We're going to dive into the importance of music. We see in 1 Chronicles 15:16, and David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint. So we see here that it was important enough that King David had people appointed. It says to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, the psalteries and the harps and the cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. It was important enough that King David, man after God's own heart, made sure that there were people appointed for this job of singing. Apparently it reads my finger too. In 1 Chronicles 23:5, we see, moreover, 4,000 were porters, and there was 4,000 praise the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. Now, that's a pretty big choir and orchestra. I imagine that sounded pretty So, right along. 1 Chronicles 9:33, and these are the singers, chief of the fathers of the Levites, who remaining in the chambers were free. For they were employed in that work day and night. So if you go back and look in Chronicles just before this, basically they are laying out job responsibilities for the different individuals. And here we see that the people that were appointed to be singers, they were free from the other work because it says they were employed in the singing day and night. So that's how important it was. They were told, this is your job and that's all you do. So we see that even in the Old Testament, that music, the importance of it, and that carries on today as well. Moving on to our next point here, God is moved by music. We're going to take a look at a couple of examples of God moving music. If you want to turn, you can, to 2 Chronicles chapter 5 in your Bible. It's in there in your paper too, but if you want to turn and look at that, we will. This is going to give an example of how God moved with the music. It says, also the Levites, which were singers, all of them of Asaph and of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Verse 14, it says, so that the priests could not stand to minister by the reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. I think I just jumped off the bottom here. Sorry. Glory of the Lord filled the house. Another example here we have in 2 Kings 3. It says, and Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. It says, but now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Touchy. All right. And then finally in Psalms 22, it says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. There we go. Try that again. Y'all didn't know he was getting a comedy show. There we go. As we get a little further in, there'll be a lot more that we're going to pop in action. So, our next point that we move on in is God is our song. Exodus 15:2, we see, "The Lord is my strength and song. And he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him." Psalms 118:14, "The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation." Isaiah 12:2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." You know, we talk about having a song in our heart. We have the Lord. God is our song. Next, we'll look at God's statutes are also our song. Okay. In Psalms 119:54, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." So I had to look and say, well, what exactly is a statute? So the definition I found was, it is a prescription, a rule, or law, or a regulation. Basically, the things that God has laid out for us in His Word, statutes for us, this is our song here. And see, some of y'all were worried when you seen that big packet. We're moving through it a little quick. All right, so moving on. God gives songs. In Job 35:10, we see, "But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night? Who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of the heaven." I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I'm trying to go to sleep and songs just keep. Sometimes I wake up in the morning with one going through my head like it's been playing through all night. And it's wonderful. The Lord gives that to us, and it helps me to get my day started, and it helps me to rest and be calm. I need one right now. Psalms 32:7, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. He'll surround us, pass us about with songs of deliverance." He can give them to us when we're in the bad times. There's songs that come to my mind when things are going on. Lord puts a song in my heart. It's an encouragement to me. Psalms 40:3, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." There's times when I'm at work, I'll just start singing, depending on where I'm at. Some places not talk, but still. It says that he'll put a new song in your mouth. Even praise unto God. And listen here, it says, "Many shall see it." This is not something that we hide from the world. And what happens when they see it? It says they'll fear and shall trust in the Lord. And we'll kind of deal with that a little bit in another place, but it can be a witness as well. And I'm going to come back to that here in a little while. Psalms 42:8, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life." All right, so Let's ask a stupid question. Who do we sing to? Whom do we sing? Well, this one's a really short and easy point. All right. Psalms 101:1. I will sing of mercy and judgment, and unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Now let's get into it a little deeper. How should we sing? See what the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, or doesn't say sing there, it says whatsoever. Singing is whatsoever. Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So this covers a lot of areas, but music definitely fits in there. In Colossians 3, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus, or the Lord Christ, excuse me. Heartily. We know what that means. Giving it your all. I tell our kids, like, we ask you to do something, you're doing it heartily. You're going to do it right then. You're going to do it with a good attitude. That's giving it your best, giving it your all. And that's how we're to do this for the Lord. When we sing, if you're singing in the choir, if you're singing a special, you need to do it for God. You need to do the best you can. Now, I'm not saying that you have to sound great. Best you can sounds like a cat in a trash can, then do it. If we're singing congregationals, you should sing. It's for God. You're not singing for me. You're not singing for pastor. You're not singing for anybody else around you. You're singing for Lord. You're singing to Him. You're singing for Him. And you should do the best you can. And a lot of people don't share this view with that I have when it comes to music in the church. I've been in churches where you had to have auditions to sing in the choir. And I like for music to sound good, okay? I do. But I would much rather... I grew up in a church. We had a lady in our church. She could not carry a tune for anything. I mean, it got pretty rough. She loved God, and you could tell it. She did the best that she could. But then I've also been in churches where there were people up there, they could sing with the best of anybody, but you could tell it was a show. You could tell that their heart wasn't in it. And I would much rather hear that lady that loved the Lord just really hurt my ears than I would those people that sounded great because their heart was not in it where hers was. So we're singing congregationals. Hey, don't worry about what everybody else thinks. Sing to God. Do the best you can. That's all He asks. That's all I'm asking either. So let's dig into some more on how should we sing. We should sing loudly. All right. Psalms 33, we'll read verses 2 and 3. Praise the Lord with harp and sing unto Him with the psaltery and the instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Those of you that can't sing, hear that loud noise. Those of you who can sing, you're also that loud noise, okay? I've been in places, and I may say some things that might offend some people, and if I do, I'm sorry, it's not intentional. But I've been in a church where it was full of people. I mean, probably 200 people in there. And we sang louder than they did. That's sad to me. you know, to me, they should have been blowing us out of the water in number alone. And so it was either they weren't doing it heartily to the Lord, or they just didn't care at all. And that's not what the Bible says. It says with a loud noise. I ain't saying going out there and just shout. You know, when I was a kid and we had vacation Bible school, we had this song that we did, Hallelujah, 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 Praise Ye the Lord. And they used to split us up into sides and have a contest of who could be the loudest. By the time we've done it, nobody sing or hear. I ain't saying do that, but we should sing out. And if you can, play skillfully. Right? Psalms 59:16, but I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Psalms 81:1, sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise. I had a spell. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Not only be loud, make it joyful. When we had the choir for camp meeting, one of the things I told them, I says, look happy. Look like you're being forced to be up here. Look like you actually enjoy what you're doing for God. A joyful noise unto the Lord. It makes a difference. If it didn't, it wouldn't be in this book. Okay? Move on there. Psalms 149:5. Let the saints be joyful in glory, and let them sing aloud upon their beds. Even at night, held it loose. Spouse doesn't like it, get him some earplugs. So we see that we should sing aloud. All right, and we touched on this a little bit already. We should sing. You got to push that. Joyfully. Jump the gun. Sing joyfully. Psalms 95:1, it says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. That goes over the eye, not the eye. Psalms 100. I'm going to be repetitive here. Try to get a point across. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Psalms 149:5 says, let the saints be joyful in glory, and let them sing aloud upon their beds. We mentioned that a little bit ago. Talking about joy. Proverbs 29:6, in the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. We should be happy. All right. Am I going too fast or y'all good? Okay. We should sing descriptively. So, songs that we sing about certain things, okay? Now, this is not everything, but this is a lot of things that I found, verses 4, and a lot of them are ones we've already read up to this point. The first thing I have that we should sing describing God, we should be singing about His power. And we, like I said, it's referenced in Psalms 21:13 and 59:16. Second one here, His holiness. We see that in Psalms 30, verse 4. And we're not going to look these up now because we either read them already or we're fixing to read them here. All right, we should sing about His honor. Psalm 62. Right, then we'll sing about His righteousness. Sing about His mercy. Psalms 59:16 and 89:1. Next, to see His glory. That in 138:5. Pretty much all of these here we're looking at is in Psalms. His faithfulness. We should sing about His wondrous works. And that covers a lot of things. Stuff that He's done for you in your life. Things you can sing about. All right, the next couple. He is our defense. Think about that. He is our refuge. Here's a real good one. He is our salvation. Think about it. The last one we have there, He is our strength. Psalms 81:1. Like I said, there's a lot of other things that we can put in there. I just want to kind of hit some of the high points. There's a lot of things that fall under these different areas as well. Move on to this one. This one's very important. When we sing, we should sing doctrinally. We're just going to kind of hit this real quick. Be a whole other area further on that we're going to get at. In Psalms 47:7, it says, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding." When we sing to God, sing about God, we need to have it correct doctrinally. We need to have an understanding of what we're singing about. I know people today that will sing a song and have no idea what it's even talking about. I don't recommend doing that. If you don't understand what it's singing about, you could be singing about something that's not even correct. So it's important that we make sure that our music is doctrinally sound. I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to deal with that a little bit later. Psalms 138:5, "Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for for great is the glory of the Lord. The Lord has a way about Him. He has a way of doing things. I'll give you an example. Somebody that I was listening to, they told him that he had God in a box. You're just limiting what God can do, because he was basically calling out the charismatics and some of the stuff that they believe. It's not doctrinal. And he said, "You're right, I do have God in a box." He said, "This is the box. God described himself and the limits that he has in this word. And anything that is outside of this word is not correct." And so he has his ways, and we have it written down for us. So our music should go along with his ways. "They shall sing in the ways of the Lord." And lost my pen. Oh, that didn't take long. There it is. I lost count of how many mistakes that is. Y'all have to let me know later. All right, moving on to the next point. Now, this is something I'd never heard before. Well, in a sense, I have heard it, but not directly with these verses. I came across it in my study. And we're going to talk about the beauty of holiness. Our music should be holy. Not just the music we're singing, but when we're singing it, it needs to be presented holy. So how we're doing it can affect that. And I'm going to deal with, like I said, this is just kind of introduction to some of this. We're going to deal with a lot of this later on. Let's look at the verses here. In 1 Chronicles 16:29, it says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, bring an offering, and come before him, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." The Bible describes holiness as being beautiful. It should be beautiful to us, it's beautiful to God. Everybody that's watching this after on the replay, I have to edit out some of this stuff. All right. 2 Chronicles 20 says in verse 21, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." They went out before the army, and they were still concerned about holiness. I'd be more concerned about my life. But they saw the beauty of holiness. Oh, there was more to that verse there. "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." God blessed them for it. In Psalms 29, verse 2, it says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Psalms 96, or excuse me, not 96, wrong one there. Yeah, 96, that's right. "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth." We're worshiping him in holiness. We'll have that fear. Not talking, it's more of a fear of reverence. because of who He is. 1 Thessalonians 4, for God hath not called unto us uncleanness, unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. We're presenting God's word and song, and we're doing it in a holy manner. People despise us for that, and they will, and they have. They're not despising us, they're despising God. And so, let me see where we're at. I think we're almost... We'll go ahead and stop right there, and we'll pick up in Romans 12:1 next week. Thank you for putting up with me in a klutz. But I hope as we get deeper into this, you will see the things that God has revealed to me about music and how we should approach it and how it should be conducted. So, whatever you want. All right. Pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for all that You are for us, Lord. Lord, I praise You for Your holiness. Lord, I pray that You would just help me as I stand here to teach what You've shown me, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we'd all take it to our hearts, Lord. Lord, that we would apply it to our lives. Lord, I pray that You would just be with us this morning, the rest of the services, singing, preaching, that it would all point to You and glorify You in Your name. Lord, that we would just praise You heartily the best that we can, Lord. And I pray. Thank you. I was nervous.